Shalom. אנחנו קוראים בספר.
Hello. We're reading in the book, The Study of the Ten Sefirot, Volume 2, Part 6. We are in the section Deser Sefirot of Olam HaNikudim, Item 7. Questions can be asked online in Galaxy. And there is that book icon that you can press for the reading materials and relevant questions will be asked throughout the lesson.
The sixth part of Talmud Esther Sefirot is the most important part. It's the foundation of the world of correction, the world of Atzilut, the world of Bia, and that's why it's very important for us to study it. And somehow, bit by bit, as much as we can, to understand something from it, because its principles, all of them, are included in the world of correction that we need to reveal and work in it. That's why it's worth it to listen, and as much as enters, we will gradually begin to recognize what's happening. When we learn such parts on the topic in Talmud of Esther Sefirot, this entire system of the upper governance, the way it obligates us, the way it governs us, of course, from the fact that we don't understand and don't feel and are not in contact with these spiritual parts from which the world of Atzilut consists, it's difficult for us to understand what exactly occurs here, how it works, how it acts. But we are studying this not in order to know, but in order to awaken the light that returns to the source, the surrounding light. Just like Baal Salam writes in the preface to Tas, Item
155.
Preface to Talmud Esther Sefirot, Item 155. He writes that everything depends on the person that studies, how much he earns to understand and to connect with what he's learning. And that's how he advances. Go ahead. So let's look at sixth part, item 7.
Again, we're studying in the study of the Ten Sefirot. This is 399 in the Hebrew book. We're in item 7. It starts when the Ma'atzil wanted to emanate. When the Ma'atzil, the emanator, wanted to emanate Olam HaNikudim, his intention was to make them kilim, so as to have strength in the lower olamot, the lower worlds, to receive the Or Elyon, the upper light. The Ma'atzil, Ein Sof, saw that there's still no strength and ability in the Tachtonim, the lower ones, to receive these Oot, these lights that exit through the Nikve Einaim and expand from the place of Tabur Da'ak to Tzarglaim. Consequently, before he emanated these Oot, these lights, there was another second Tzimtzum in Ak, as the above-mentioned Tzimtzum in Ein Sof. He brought all the Or that expanded in the Pnimiyut, in the internality of this Ak, from this place of its Tabur down, above the place of the Tabur, into its upper half of the Guf. As a result, the aforementioned place from Tabur down remained without Orot, without lights.
What it's talking about here is about the dissemination of Nukudot Desak along the Tabur, and the intermixing with Nida Garganta, and the restriction which brought to the upper lights and strength of the pursuit of the Desak.
Continuing in Or Pnimi,
we read the text of the Torah twice.
So let's repeat it. Item 7. When the Ma'atzil, the emanator, wanted to emanate Olam HaNikudim, his intention was to make them Kilim, so as to have strength in the lower Olamot to receive the Or Elyon.
This is the reason.
The Ma'atzil Ein Sof saw that there's still no strength and ability in the Tachtonim and the lower ones to receive these lights that exit through the Nikve Einaim and expand from the place of Tabor the Ak Tzutz Raglaim.
In other words, this is what the Creator wants for the lights to disseminate from downwards, up until the very end, for them to fill all of the kelim, and Martikun will come.
Consequently, before he emanated these lights, these orot, there was another second Tzimtzum in Ak, as the above mentioned Tzimtzum in Ein Sof. He brought all the or, the light that expanded in the Pnimiyut, in the internality of this Ak, from the place of its Tabor down, above the place of the Tabor into its upper half of the Guf. As a result, the aforementioned place from Tabor down remained without Orot, without lights.
In other words, what has occurred, there was a Pertsuf Sag. From the Pertsuf Sag, the light has been descending downward. And it has mixed with Nida Galgalta and has resulted in second restriction, and the Parsa has occurred below Tabor, which has split Nikodot the Sag into the upper and lower. And then the lights have returned back to Rosh the Sag. This is what has occurred until now.
Let's
read below.
Item 7, Or Pnimi, clarifies, there is no strength and ability in the Tachtonim and the lower ones to receive.
He's giving us a short introduction.
No ability in the Tachtonim to receive these Orot that exit through the Nikve Einaim. It is because the Or Chuzer that comes out on Bichinat Aviyut, the Bichina Aleph, is only a fine Or. It does not reach Bihinat Guf, meaning Hitlapshut, as has been explained in the previous parts. You also know that the Einaim are a name for Sefirat Chokhmah of the Rosh, which is Bihinat Aleph, being the reason that he writes that there was still no strength and ability to receive the Orot, the Nikve Einaim. Next part clarifying, there was another second Tzimtzum in Ak, as the above mentioned Tzimtzum in Ein Sof. This is seemingly perplexing, for in the two previous Partsufim, there was the same Histalkut Orot, departure of lights from the Guf, the Elyon, from the upper Guf, to emanate to the Tachton, to the lower one, which the Rav calls Histalkut Aleph and Histalkut Bet.
The first is Aleph de Galgalta, and the second one is Ab. There were these dissemination already, and the exiting and dissemination, that's how these first two have exited and then have re-entered.
How is this Histalkut of Nehi Dehak different?
Meaning the world of Nikudim.
And that gives it the name Tzimtzum Bet and even resembles it to the first Tzimtzum in the Olamot.
The light has been disseminated below Tabor into Nikudot the Sag until Siyum and then has exited upwards. So there have been such forms already in Ak and Galgalta and Ak and now in Sag. why are we saying that this is something new and suck?
כי באמת נעשה כאן עניין חדש לגמרי.
The thing is that there is indeed something completely new here, unlike the Histalkut or that was in Av and Galgalta Da'ak. Here, there is a new point of Tzimtzum.
This was the special part. The point of restriction was a different one.
Here there's a new point of Tzimtzum added to the first point of Tzimtzum that was in the Tzimtzum of Ein Sof. This is so because of the mixture of the Rishimot the Sag and the Rishimot the Bichina Dalet in one another. Because of that, the place of the Tzimtzum of Siyum, the Bichina Dalet, rose to the place of Siyum, the Bichina Bet, which is Bichinat Tabor de Olam HaNikudim. In this manner, the matter of the ascent of the Orot, the lights of Nehi, to Hagat Da'ak, generated the new point of Tzimtzum and Siyum. Instead of the lights that previously expanded to the Siyum Raglaim of Galgalta, let's say now they can expand only up to the Parsa, this new Siyum. And continuing to read, which is similar to the, exactly like the first Tzimtzum in Ein Sof, as the Rav says. You should also know that from the place of the new Tzimtzum, being the Tabur of the Nikudim, to the place of the first Tzimtzum, being Ha'olam Hazeh, is where the three Olamot below Atzilut stand, called Bia.
Any questions yet? Let's continue.
And the Or that expanded in the Pnimiut of this Ak from the place of its Tabor down, above the place of the Tabor, into its upper half of the Guf, consequently, the aforementioned place from Tabor. It has already been explained that the Rav speaks of two Partsufim here. The first Partsuf of Ak, called Inner Ak, where a Viyut of Bihina Dalet operates, and the third Partsuf of Ak, called Sag, where a Viyut, the Bihina Bet, operates. As it is written in item 1, or Pnimi, and Tabor means the place of the Siyum Raglin, the Hitpashtut Bet, the Ak called Ab. This is because it's been explained there that this Ab has only Masach the Bihina Gimel. For that reason, it cannot shine below Tabor of the inner Ak, being the place of Kilim, the Bihina Dalet. Ab doesn't have Masach the Bihina Dalet, and it is therefore considered to end on the Tabor. And the Kilim of the inner Ak remain empty, without or without light from Tabor down.
He's talking about the first restriction. There, the lights are above the point of Tzimtzum,
as they were during the first Histalkut before Ab expanded. Like it was in the first restriction. However, after the third Partsuf expanded, called Sag, its Bichinot Nekudot expanded, which are its lower nine Sefirot, having only Or Bina, the light of Bina. They clothed and filled the empty Kelim from Tabor, the inner Ak, down. Thus, these Orot, these lights from Tabor, the Ak, down, are two Partsufim, the inner Ak, and Sag, the Ak. It is so because the nine lower sephirot, the sag, clothe half of Tiferet and the he of the inner ak, meaning the place from its tabur down. Rav, it's okay? Is this clear? Meaning, what is he trying to tell us here? The nekudot, the sag, that are expanding below the tabur, they fulfill the nihi of the ak, nihi of Galgalta, with their lights. And this is what he's talking about in the meantime, not more.
Kiev.
These are Shemot that mixed of Bina with Malchut. Why was there still a second restriction nonetheless? What is this mechanism here at work?
Rav, we don't
hear you. We have not yet reached this. He's still not talking about this. Another half a page, we'll get to it. But I'm asking to ask on what we read. And besides this, nothing else. Okay, so there's a question about the text. He writes here, for this reason, the place of destruction rose, which was in the end of Siyum, of Olam Hazeh. What does it mean, Olam Hazeh, this world? Rav, Olam Hazeh is, this world is a spiritual world. It's not our world. It's just, we just happen to be used the same words. There was a certain point of Siyum, this ending point, and meaning, the end of Ragli Ak and the end of Galgalta, let's say, and this place after the with the second restriction rose further up, where instead of Tiferet of Nekudot Sag, meaning right now the upper light can come from above only until the Sefer Tiferet of Nekudot Sag, and not further down to the Malchut. And this ascent of Malchut, this border of Malchut to Tiferet, this ascent is called Tzimtzum Bet. We'll talk about this in a little bit. Okay? Let's continue. We're continuing, page 400 in the Hebrew text. It is written, all the light that expanded in the pnimiyut, in the internality of this ak from the place of its tabur down, meaning the two kinds of or of light, being the lower nine of sag and zon, the bichina dalet, the inner ak himself, he brought all the or that expanded in the pnimiyut of this ak from the place of its tabur down, above the place of the tabur, into its upper half of the goof. This means that these two kinds of orot, lights, departed from the place below tabur, called tanhi, and rose to the place above the point of tabur, which is ta'amim the sag. Next section clarifies, he brought all the or, all the light above the place of the tabur. This raising of the orot, the lights from below, from Tabor the Ak to the place above Tabor, is the most fundamental issue in this wisdom. Hence, we must thoroughly understand it. This is actually a very long issue, clarified only through the understanding of all of the Rav's teachings regarding the emanation of Nikudim. However, its axis revolves primarily around the association of Midat HaRachamim with Din, the qualities of mercy and judgment, namely the joining of Bihina Bet, which is Bina, with Bihina Dalet, which is Malchut. This is brought in the Zohar, section Ruth, regarding the verse, and they both went, explaining that the two hays in the name Havaya, meaning the first hay, Bina, and the second hay, Malchut, fused and became as one. This thing is rooted here in the ascent of the Orot, the lights of Nehi, the Ak, below Tabor, to Hagat, above Tabor. It is so because in the beginning, the ore of the lower nine of Sag, which are Bichina Bet, below Tabor, the Ak, expanded, clothed, and connected with Zon, the Bichina Dalet there. Rav, this is first of all that the lights expanded below. In that, Bihina Dalet received strength so that afterwards she would be able to ascend along with the lower nine of Sag, meaning Or Yashar Rachamim of Hitpashtut Sag, called Nikve Einaim. Thus, Bihina Dalet, the lower He, came and clothed in the Masach in Nikve Einaim. She was incorporated there in the upper Zivug and this Masach that raises Or Hozer from Chochma to Keter, extending Koma, the level of Bihina Aleph, being Komat Zirampin. However, since there's also Bihinat Hitlapshut of Bihina Bet there, it is considered the Koma, the level Israel Saba Vetvuna. Rav, which is what we call Yishsut. Israel Saba Vetvuna Biyachad, they're called Yishsut. As an abbreviation. It turns out that there is Bihina Dalet incorporated in this Yishsut that emerges from the Zivug De'inaim, which is the lower He of Havaya. Thus, the two Bihinot, Midat Rachamim, the quality of mercy, which is Bihinat Yishsut, and Midat Hadin, the quality of judgment, namely Bihinat of the lower He, joined here in a single partsuf. Thus, you find that this connection and association of Bihina Bet with Bihina Dalet was made by the ascent of the Rot Nehi the Ak to its Hagat above Tabor. This is because Bihina Bet and Bihina Dalet rose from there, mingled in one another, until they came to the place of the Zivug together with the Or Ilyon, called Nikve Einaim, where they were actually made into one partsuf. This partsuf is called Olam HaNikudim, the world of Nikudim. Remember that concept, as it is the basis of all the following teachings. The details of this issue and the reason for the histalkut of the Orot, the light of Nehi, have already been explained.
Are there any questions? From Kiev, Vlad, go ahead and ask. Maybe we'll repeat this excerpt.
Dear Rav, I wanted to ask, why is the quality of Bina and Malchut that's called the same letter, the letter Hey, and the lower and the upper one?
Well, it's because it's talking about the desire to receive that has revealed for the first time in Bina, and that is why it has ceased to receive the light of Chochmah and wanted to be like Keter, and then the light of Chasadim. And then the second time, the light of Chasadim has revealed in Malchut, and it revealed in its entire force, strength. Therefore, the desire to receive that is revealed symbolizes as by the letter Hey, even though you can say Bina bestows, it's the light of Chasadim, mercy, Chesed, but it's Chesed because it has felt a desire to receive within it, which is why it's Chesed. Well, let's say the letter Vav, Zerampin. We don't have anything to say about Zerampin. That doesn't solve anything for us. It was just born from Bina. Bina has created it, and it is between Bina and Malchut, the Zerampin, and that's why it only passes the light from Bina to Malchut. And that's why besides Keter, everything comes from Keter, but everything that occurs here is between Malchut and Bina. And it occurs in this types, different types of connection between Malchut and Bina.
He always gives us this advice that Malchut rises to Bina, and we do all sorts of exercises like this, that we try to be incorporated in this quality. But we never speak of Zerampin, which is between them. Why not?
Because Zerampin doesn't have freedom of will. It connects Bina and Malchut, and between them is a middleman. We can talk about Zerampin a lot. It does have functionality, which are not simple, but the most important ones here are Malchut and Bina, Kazakhstan.
Hello, Rav. There is this connection here that the Nehida Ak, these qualities rose to the Tabor. Does it mean that only the upper light, which is above the Tabor, can connect these two qualities?
Yep.
Rav, what's happening in the world of Atzilut? What is happening in the place of Atzilut if everything's above the Tabor?
I didn't understand.
If the connection of Bet and Dalet is happening above the Tabor, then what is that place?
Bina and Malchut.
1 second. Bina and Malchut that connect, you're asking what comes from that? The second restriction, when Malchut ascends into Bina, when Bina descends into Malchut, due to that, it gives strength, forces of bestowal to Malchut. We'll talk about it. We don't need to touch upon it now. That comes later. Asia?
Rav,
the section starts, and he writes that, and the emanator decided, and the emanator did, and then the rest of the emphasis is what the Ari wrote, that the quality of mercy is the main thing in Kabbalah. How do we combine these two, that the emanator decided and did something? What does he want to...
The creator is Rosh Dasag. Sag is Elohim, it's Bina, it's the creator. Creator is Sag. You can say what's with Ab and Galgalta, the upper one, that's, but in relation to us, we are speaking about Sag. Sag is the root of all the worlds, all of the creatures. Sag is.
So what is that? What is that mercy? Quality of mercy?
Mercy is even lower in the connection between Sag and Malchut. There occurs from that quality of judgment and mercy, there occurs between them all kinds of denominations.
Volga. Thank you. He writes here that the point of restriction rose. What does it mean in our work that the point of restriction rose in the 10?
No, ain't la no adain.
Well, we don't have this point of restriction yet. I can tell you what's happening here now. There was a point of restriction in Malchut, and it has ascended then into Bina. And if prior to that lights were able to come through all the Sefirot towards Malchut, now they can only go until Bina. And below Bina, they cannot penetrate. This is called that the point of restriction has ascended from Malchut into Bina. Beersheva.
Good evening, Rav, and the world Kli. Can I ask a question about the world of Nikodim, Rav?
Yep.
Why, from the start, we don't talk about it. There are these five worlds. Why is there this additional world?
This is additional because he exited due to this correlation between Malchut and Bina. Initially, if there are five qualities, Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zerampin, Malchut, but this correlation between Bina and Malchut, a new world is born out of that. And it doesn't get realized because it shatters and dies. And instead of it, the worlds of Bia are born. And we study them because we exist in them and we depend upon them. But the world of Nikodim exited in the middle, has organized everything, gave birth to Bia as if finished its role there.
This is like it's written in the Zohar about the worlds that were destroyed.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
That's exactly so. Okay, well, so, you know, let's continue. This is very important material, but I see that we need to go through it from beginning to end. Go ahead.
So we're in item 8, page 400, if you're following the Hebrew text. Item 8, Chet. The learned one shall understand and...
One comes from the other, word from the word.
The learned one shall understand and will conclude one thing from another, how in all the olamot, in all the worlds, the neitzalim, the emanated that shine in the olam below them.
In other words, the lower one always encloses from tiferet of the upper.
That shine and olam below them are always bichinat the lower half, the tiferet and the he. It is so because we found how half of tiferet and the he, the ziranpin, shine in its nukva, and the he, the atikyomim, and abavim shine for ziranpin, and the he, the atikyomin, to arichanpin. Also, this Teferet and that Nehi, the Ak, shine to Atik Yomin and to the entire Olam Atzilut, as will be explained. Furthermore, you shall see that the Tzimtzum is necessary for every elicitation of Oot to emanate them. It shall be clarified how Arich Anpin too restricted its Oot Nehi to emanate Ziranpin and its Nukva later in its place.
One more time.
Again, item 8. The learned one shall understand and will conclude one thing from another. How in all the olamot, the neetzalim that shine in the olam below them, are always bichinat, lower half, the tiferet and the he. It is so because we found how half of Tiferet and the he, the Ziranpin, shine in its nukva, and the he, the Arich Anpin, and Abba Ve'ima shine for Ziranpin, and the he, the Atik Yomin, to Arich Anpin. Also, this Tiferet and that Nehi, the Ak, shine to Atik Yomin and to the entire Olam Atzilut, as will be explained. Furthermore, you shall see that the Tzimtzum is necessary for every elicitation of Orot to emanate them. It shall be clarified how Arich Anpin Tzu restricted its Orot Nehi to emanate Zir Anpin and its Nukva later in its place.
Okay. It's enough for the one that understands. Ninth item above.
Item 9. Thus, after he restricted himself, he placed one parsa in the middle of its goof, inside its place of tabur, to separate between the two. This is the meaning of the verse, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." It is also mentioned in the Zohar Bereshit, "There is one membrane in the middle of one's intestines. It stops from above downward, draws from above, and gives below." Then the entire light remains above this parsa, and it is there squeezed tightly. Then it breaches this parsa and comes down to shine in the rest of the goof from tabur down. Again, item 9. And thus, after he restricted himself, he placed one parsa in the middle of its goof.
He's speaking about the second restriction here. After he restricted himself, there occurred a tzimtzum bet, and malchut that was in siyum reglaim of ak has ascended upwards until the middle of the place of Neidak and became a separation between, a split between what's above and what's below. As it is said, he restricted himself and placed the parsa in the middle of his goof inside his place of Tabor to separate between the two. So now there will be a separation called parsa, and then it will be changed. Sometimes it will be annulled, and sometimes not. We will see. So it's a certain border that cannot be moved.
This is the meaning of the verse, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." It is also mentioned in the Zohar Bereshit, "There is one membrane in the middle of one's intestines."
In other words, there is a certain break, a shell, in the middle of Parsuf.
It stops from above downward.
That prevents the above from downward.
Draws from above and gives below.
And it draws like a pump.
Then the entire ore remains above this parsa.
Above the parsa, the light remains.
And it is there squeezed tightly.
Yep, there were many lights above the parsa.
Then it breaches this parsa and comes down to shine in the rest of the goof from tabur down.
And then these lights push on the parsa and break through it and cover all of the places below the parsa.
Should we read below?
Yep, you need to read below. We still have time.
So, item 9, Or Pnimi, clarifies he placed one parsa in the middle of its goof, draws from above and gives below. Parsa means the ending of the masach of the partsuf, like the toes of the raglaim. The difference is in the values of the pnimiyut and hitsuniyut, the internality and externality. The parsa is the bchinat siyum for the hitsuniyut, the externality of the partsuf as well. This parsa was made after the Zivug Elyon, the upper Zivug, performed the Nikve Inayim. It means that the place of the Zivug ascended from the place of the Peh, being Malchut of the Rosh, to the place of Nikve Inayim, which is the Chokhmah, the Rosh. In that state, the Eser Sefirot, the 10 Sefirot of the Rosh, were divided into 2 degrees, Rosh and Guf, with a great distance between them. As in the Rosh, there are as yet no Kilim, an actual Hitlapshut. This is so because the Or Chozer operates there from below upward, and not from above downward, which means Hitlapshut. The Malchut of the Rosh expanded into the Esos Sefirot, the 10 Sefirot from her, and within her, by the force of the Zivug performed in the Masach in her, and then the light, the Or, clothed in her, from above downward, meaning in complete Hitlapshut. Now the place of the Masach and the Zivug rose to Nikve Einayim, which is Chokhmah Derosh.
It means Sak,
which is Chokhmah Derosh. Consequently, the Or Chozer ascends, clothes the Or Yashar from Chokhmah up to Keter, and Malchut in that Chokhmah is then found to expand with the Or Yashar in her from above downward to the 3 Sefirot Bina and Zeranpin Derosh. These Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut, called Achap, then become Bichinot Sefirot de Guf, meaning vessels of reception for that Or, for that light that stems from the Zivug and Nikve Einayim. Thus, a whole Partsuf, Rosh and Guf, were made here of Esos Sefirot, of the 10 Sefirot, of a single Rosh, where only the Galgalt of Einayim remained in it as Rosh, and the Ozen Hotem Peh that were in it became Bichinat Guf to that Rosh.
In other words, Rosh has split into 2 parts. Galgalt Einayim has remained in the Rosh, and Achap went into the Doch of Parsuf, into the Guf. And that is the second restriction in a very clear, concise way. And all right, we have Volga.
Rav, I never understood. How could it be that the Rosh turns into the Guf? It's not clear.
There isn't such a thing. What are you talking about? We're saying that in the Rosh you have 10 Sefirot, and in the Guf you have 10 Sefirot. In the Rosh you have a restriction in these 10 Sefirot of Rosh, and as a result of that, you have also restriction in the Guf, because whatever is in the Guf, in the Rosh, also is in the Guf.
But he writes here, when the second restriction happened, the Sahab of the Rosh turns into a Guf.
He doesn't become Guf. He has the laws of Guf. In other words, you can't, in the Sahab, you can no longer think, you can no longer make a calculation, and that's why he remains below Rosh, just like Guf, but does not become Guf. He falls to the level, the degree of Guf in its value, just like Guf. Let's say, when you sleep, you don't think, you don't work with your head, so your head is in the same state as your body.
Kadima.
אנחנו בעמוד 401 בטור ב' למטה פסקה אחרונה.
On the page, to the same extent that the root malchut of Rosh, the Sag, from the Pet to Nikve Naim, so were the Esperot Desium of the Pertsuf Sag divided. It is so because the ending of the Tensperot of the Pertsuf begin in the Sag, from the place of the Chaze Tesium Reglaim, Behinot Keter, and Keter Chochmah in it expands from the Chaze to Tabor, and three Sferot, Binas, Rampen, and Malchut in it expand from Tabor to Siyum Raglin. It turns out that now as Bina Zerampin and Malchut Rosh departed from Pinat Rosh and became Pinat Guf, so Bina Zerampin and Malchut of the Tensferot of the Siyum completely departed from the Atzilut.
You can say Partsuf even without Atzilut. Atzilut is the essence of the Partsuf.
Completely departed from the Atzilut of the Partsuf. In such a way that the screen that exited the Partsuf has ascended into the Chochmah of the Stem Sferot, being the place of the Tabor. The three Sferot, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut, below Tabor, went completely outside of the Partsuf, and Pinat Atzilut of the Partsuf was completely cancelled in them.
Meaning, just like we had that empty space from Nehi do Galgalta, Nihidak, and in the same way, this space is in every place restricted.
Now you can thoroughly understand that those nine lower spirit, the Sag, that previously expanded from Tabor to Siyum Raglin of the inner Ak,
which was like that from the second restriction,
rose to Pinat Man, to the Tamim Dasag, and to Pinat Nigvenaim. They did not come back down afterwards to their first place, meaning to Siyum Raglin Deak,
like it was before,
as the place of the point of Siyum of Partsuf Sag had already changed to the place of the Tabor. A masach that ends Sag was spread there, and they remained above Tabor and the Parsa. Only zone of Ak Hapnimi that was incorporated in them came down below Tabor. The matter of draws from above and gives below, and the breaching of the Parsa by the oar will be explained later.
I don't see any questions, but it's good that you guys hear this. You know how many times you need to hear such things in order to start also to remember these things and to hear and even to understand a little bit. It's like that. A few percentages here and there, each time more and more. The main thing is that by this we awaken the upper light upon us, and he builds in us this form of the first restriction, the second restriction, and in this way we advance towards realization.
PT 9.
What's the difference between the kelim that are below Tabor and those that don't exist at all? What is the difference between the kelim that are below Tabor and those that don't really exist at all anywhere?
The difference between the kelim that are below the Tabor and those that are above the Tabor?
They
don't exist at all? What does that mean?
That's what he said right now. Malchut of Siyum Raglin was in the partially in Tzvachma.
We'll learn this afterwards. This has to do with canceling the second restriction. We'll learn about it. It's just one sentence. He mentions it here. We'll learn about this action in a little bit. Really, in just a few more pages. Kiev.
Hello, dear Rav. You said that we went through Tzimtzum Bet in its entirety. Can I ask about Tzimtzum Bet now?
Okay, ask. We learned Tzimtzum Bet in its full form. I didn't say that, but still ask. You know, Tzimtzum Bet, you could write a book this big on Tzimtzum Big on Tzimtzum Bet.
Okay, I just wanted to ask to understand the reason behind Tzimtzum Bet.
There is no strength in the Masach to receive in order to bestow. And therefore, this restriction comes that we work only in bestowing in order to bestow. That's it.
Why still does this light try to penetrate below Tabor?
There is no restriction on the side of the light. We always, in spirituality, need to guard ourselves in order to not let the light to pressure the desire to receive in such a way that it will receive, that it will agree to accept it even without a calculation to bestow. Then that will cause a shattering. From the side of the light, there's always pressure and the desire to receive in the spiritual space. And from the side of the desire to receive, there's this caution, restriction, and calculating what form of connections in what form it can be in connection with the upper light in order to cause contentment above only for that and not for itself, although it really, really wants to receive.
In the first restriction, we have that shame was the moving force, and then the second restriction, was it also shame?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's a continuation. The second restriction is a continuation of the first restriction in all of those things that were there. But it's because there was no strength with the upper light. And therefore, these laws are so complex. Complex. That the Kli needs to think all the time how to maximally receive the light, but not in order to receive. So then there wouldn't be suddenly this error.
But Tzimtzum Bet is a restriction upon bestowal as well. It's a restriction in Bina.
The restriction is on in order to receive. That's forbidden to receive in order to receive, which is Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, and even on in order to bestow. This is Tzimtzum Bet. We'll learn this later on. What are these types? What is this type of form? We work only with parts, a part of the kilim, with the shorish, aleph, and bet. Tzimtzum Bet. And with aviyut gimel dalet, we cannot operate in them at all because there's no strength. There's no strength of the masach. There's no ability to think in order to bestow. And to rise and to bestow on such great pleasures that are being revealed. Cannot. To be in a restriction, barely, yes, I can do that. But to receive in order to bestow, it's very difficult. In such
kelim of the gimel and dalet, it's. I don't even understand how this is done.
In this work from below upwards, there's no fulfillment at all, just in the final correction?
There is also in them, in the Kelim of Gimel and Dalet, there are lights, but in very special limited quantities. That's how it is. Where are we?
Item 10.
Item 10. Okay, well, probably not enough time for that. More questions? Oh, there's Volga. Volga.
Rav, it's still not clear. We have two types of the desire to receive. I can receive from reception, I can get pleasure from reception, and I can get pleasure from bestowal. The second restriction restricts fulfillment from bestowal. Is that true?
Well, it's possible to say it so. I understand you. It's not exactly, but we can say that. So, in order to, in the meantime, to have some kind of understanding of this. Yeah.
So, what then remains? In this world, there are only two types of desires to receive. So, what remains after that?
Who are you dealing with? Who are you bringing contentment to? Who am I bringing contentment to? What did you want?
Who is this that takes in and passes on?
It's the masach. It's like a parsa. The parsa is also a type of masach that rises up and brings down, and it works. And it works like almost like a vacuum.
How does he do it? With what strength?
Strength of the light from above and the strength of the kli to bestow below. This is how it works. That's why the masach rises from malchut to bina, and then descends in return from bina to malchut. And in this way, all the time, it comes up and down and up and down. By this, it passes these lights and the kilim and the rishimot. And in this way, this is how we act throughout these 6,000 years. This is called 6,000 degrees. Okay? But I don't see that anyone else. Ah, PT9, please.
What you just said, we are clarifying that which occurred in Malchut of Ein Sof. If Partsuf receives the lights and then everything, then he grows and gives birth to other Partsuf. What is the connection between these new Partsufim and the old ones?
There is no absence in spirituality. Everything is everything remains. All the Partsufim, all these different parts of the Partsufim, everything remains and accumulates up until the complete, until Malchut of Ein Sof is completely filled of the upper light. And then it's completely resembles itself to the Creator.
So let's say in Sag that receives from Dalit de Gargalta, what is the connection between these parts of him? I'm trying to understand.
Is it that these both parts of him are in one body, and they're both parts that of Adam HaRishon. They're all parts of one soul.
Is there a connection between one Partsuf and Partsufim that are after him?
I don't understand you. Everything is connected together. There's nothing that's not connected. Think about it. I don't hear what you're asking. Okay, so by this we need to continue. Tomorrow,
Yud.
Item
Item 10. Okay, what's happening onwards?
בואו נגלה את הקשר שבין כל האנשים בואו ונראה מעבר לכל ההבדלים בואו ונגיד ביחד שאנחנו מוכנים להתחשב בכל הפאזל בו כולנו חלקים בקרוב הקץ למלחמות את הכל עוד אפשר כאן לשנות את הקשר שקושר את הלבבות נתחבר כולם ביחד ונתחיל סוף סוף לחיות Come on everybody it's this connection we reveal Come on everybody let's discover what's concealed Come on everybody let's unite and seal the deal Let's join our hearts together so we can finally feel so close this love will end our wars pretty soon we will live with open doors come on everybody you're invited to attend all together we will sing what a message we will send הקץ למלחמות את הכל עוד אפשר כאן לשנות בואו נגלה את הקשר שקושר את הלבבות נתחבר כולם ביחד ונתחיל סוף סוף לחיות לילה לילה